One more scripture reading, and this time we're going to go to the letter of the Apostle Paul to the Colossians. The letter of Paul to the Colossians. If you don't quite know where it is, I always say to people, the letters of Paul, A-E-I-O. Okay, A, Galatians, E, Ephesians, I, Philippians, O, Colossians. How's that? A good little device to learn them with. And then 1, 2 Thessalonians follow there. So Colossians chapter 3. And it's glorious here when it says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on earthly, on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger with wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Brothers and sisters, Ascension Day passes in New Zealand virtually unremarked upon. We have Easter holidays, we have Christmas breaks, of course, but who thinks about the Ascension? Well, I want to do so this morning, just reminding you that last year, when I spoke on this theme of the Ascension, I asked the question, where is Christ Jesus today? And then I pointed that way and said, he is in heaven, seated at the right hand of God. But I also pointed that way and said, he is with us. Jesus said, lo, I am with you always to the very close, to the end of the age. And then the third one was that he is in us. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Ascended, with us, in us. A glorious thought, that. But some of you may be wondering, come on, how's that possible? How can a person be up there and here all at the same time? Well, it's possible because of who Jesus is. As Christians, we say that Jesus is both human and divine. Let me put it this way. If Jesus was simply a human being, even the greatest and most influential human being who has ever lived on this planet, a human being that is above every other human being that has ever lived, then he's human, and he could never be at more than one place at one time. He couldn't be in this church and the church next door at the same time. But it's here that we as Christians say, but you know, even if Jesus was the most wonderful human in the world, he couldn't do much. But because, and this is plain Bible teaching, which is a little bit hard to understand, but because Jesus is both 100% human and 100% divine, now don't ask me to explain this because it'll take more than a sermon to do so, but because Jesus is both human and divine, we are able to speak of his bodily presence in heaven, right? And his spiritual presence here on earth. Indeed, his spiritual presence, if you like, is an everywhere presence. I remember teaching the word at catechism, omnipresent. Do you remember that word from your classes, guys? He is omnipresent. So he's able to be here, there, and everywhere in his spiritual nature. So the Heidelberg Catechism told us he is in his human nature, he's not now on earth, but in his divine or in his divinity, majesty, grace, and spirit, he is not absent from us for one moment. And then it asks about his presence, and it says, since divinity is not limited and is present everywhere, it is evident that Christ's divine nature is beyond the bounds of his human nature. So, he's both God and man. Now, what does that mean in practice? I mean, it's great to have great theories, isn't it? But what does it actually mean in practice to say that Jesus is spiritually present with us while at the same time he is in heaven? Well, this is where I feel that the catechism is a very useful instrument in summarizing what the Bible teaches. So the catechism says three things. It says, how does Christ's ascension into heaven benefit us? And the first thing it says that this, Jesus, the ascended Lord Jesus, pleads our cause in heaven in the presence of our Father. Just let that sink in for a minute. And the reference, just to give you, that's some body. The reference that's given here is Romans 8, verse 34. This verse occurs in the context of the passage in which the Apostle Paul points out how we who are in Christ are, you know this word, more than conquerors, right? And he says, if God is for us, who can be against us? No one in heaven, on earth, or under the earth can rob us of that new and victorious life that we have in Christ. And then people will say to me, yeah, that's okay when it's, life's okay. But how do we as Christians, and if you're not a Christian, I want to think about this, how do Christians then deal with tough, painful, distracting, hurtful moments in life? Well, says the Apostle Paul, when it really feels you're on your own, look up and think of what Jesus is doing there at the right hand of the throne of the Father. Romans 8 says it this way, Christ Jesus, who is at the right hand of God, who is indeed interceding for us. And to be able to intercede, brothers and sisters, he must know your circumstance. So the assumption of this word interceding is that he knows you. And he knows when you go through your valleys. And he knows when you experience disappointments. And he knows when you're not sure of what to do next. And then he's interceding. I well remember a brother who I went to visit in his hospital bed. And he was twisted up with pain. And he says to me, as I look at the clock on the wall there, every second seems to last an hour, and every hour seems to last days. You know how time goes real slow when you're hurting like crazy. And he says, Pastor, You're telling me Jesus understands me in my circumstance. He's praying for me. He's interceding for me. You see, people say, well, Jesus is a long way away. And knows this, Paul. He's right there in heaven, at the right hand of the Father, where he is interceding for us. So if you ask me, what does it mean that Jesus goes into heaven? Well, I've got an intercessor up there who's got God's ear all the time, to use it very human language. But then you go to another reference that's in the Catechism here. They're worthwhile looking at. It's 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. Now, 1 John, if you like, one of those wee letters of John, is in the opening chapter of that book, he introduces a really beautiful Greek word, the word koinonia, or koinonia, whichever way you want to pronounce it. And koinonia, it translates into English as fellowship. And whenever I say fellowship, I always put my hands and lock them together like this, because this is fellowship, you see? Really joined together. Now, what Peter says, what John says, first of all, we have fellowship with the Father. And then he also says in that chapter, you have fellowship with us. And then in that fellowship with the Father and with us, of course, we are joined together with Christ. And then in chapter 2, verse 1, he says this. And this is an old man writing to the child in all of us, my little children. I love that way of addressing us. I feel so at home here. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And then he says this. But if anyone does sin, and God knows that I do, don't you? If anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. What's an advocate? It's somebody who sticks up for you. It feels like it's a legal representative, somebody who is equipped to speak up on your behalf, who has a specific calling to be just that. I don't know about you, but often in my life, it's a matter of, oh, I've done it again. I get disappointed in myself. And I can hear the Apostle Paul saying in Romans 7, I can will what is right. And what does he say? I don't do it very well. Don't you ever feel that God is disappointed in you? And then comes this verse. When you've sinned, the privilege of being a Christian is the knowledge that we have an advocate interceding for us. It is well with my soul because I have an advocate. So when I think ascension, I think of Jesus at the right hand, advocating for me, interceding for me. But there's more. Says the second thing says that the Catechism wants to say is that we have our own flesh in heaven, a guarantee that Christ, our head, will take us, his members, to himself in heaven. You know, people will often say, well, what's our future? Well, the Bible says this. Incredible as you might find it, Jesus ascends into heaven physically. And as he does so, he is both a reminder and a foretaste of what's going to happen to us in the future. You know, the reason I asked Brother Andy to read from John 17, it's so beautiful there. You know, that's a beautiful verse. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. But it's that first verse that's beautiful. Have you got it open? Look at this. In my Father's house, you probably know this one already. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. Would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? What's my future? What's yours? Well, folks, physically speaking, I'm getting towards the end. We've had the most of it, haven't we, huh? But it's not the end, is it? It's the beginning. You see, Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. O Lord, haste the day when my face shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. You see, I'm going to be with Jesus in my Father's house. Now, I can think of going to heaven. That's part of the story. But you know, for me, heaven's not going to be the last place where I'm going to end up. I'm going to inherit a new body when heaven and earth will become one. And there, we know crying or tears or pain, for all the former things will have passed away, and we will live forever. And how do I know that there is such a thing as everlasting life? Brothers and sisters, the Lord Jesus conquered death and he's physically in heaven as a reminder of what our physical future will be. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. You know, I often think about this, that then there's in that same section, John's 14 to 17, there's that it climaxes, does it not, with that high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus. And you go to verse 24 of chapter 17, and there the Lord Jesus prays, Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory, the glory that you have given me because you have loved me before the foundation of the world. The word glory is at the heart of our Christian hope. Hallelujah. You know, I don't know, are you enthusiastic about this? Come on, show it, demonstrate it, live it. You know, people often say, you Christians are so straight-faced. No, we're not. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And the best way to be reminded of that, brothers and sisters, is to realize that Jesus says, where I am, you too will be. What I am, you too will be. You too will share in my glory. Perhaps the other passage that's mentioned here, and there's so much, is Ephesians chapter 2, the verses 4 to 6. You might want to look that up in your own time. But just verse 6 says, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, if you like, this is a spiritual reality which is beginning now. But just imagine one day. Can you imagine sitting at the banqueting table with the Lord Jesus at the head? Don't know if we'll be able to see him, but it's just a magnificent sight that lies ahead for us. So what does ascension mean to you? Brothers and sisters, it says open your eyes and your ears to realize what lies ahead. Now, sometimes it's easier to be a preacher of great and wonderful news, and most of us want to sort of stay anchored in reality and say, hey guy, are you sure that all of this stuff you've been preaching about is going to happen? Well, that third thing that the Heidelberg Catechism highlights reminds us how we ought to think about this. It says there, the Spirit is a guarantee of our place in heaven. Please note that word guarantee, okay? By the Spirit's power, we will make the goal of our lives not earthly things, but things above where Christ is sitting at God's right hand. Now, the third benefit then is not immediately apparent. As pointed out, Jesus had ascended into heaven in order, this was in John 16, in order that the helper or the counselor, the parakletos is the actual word, the Holy Spirit could come For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. What the Heidelberg Catechism is indicating is that Christ had to be physically in heaven in order to join the Father, so that the Father and the Son together could, if you like, pour out the Holy Spirit. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? I want you to think about this for a moment. You see, because of the Holy Spirit, I've been given spiritual eyes to recognize and to see that there's more to life than this physical life. Because of the Holy Spirit, I've been given ears. Ears that enable me to hear God speaking through His Word and through the testimony of fellow believers. And through the Holy Spirit and by means of the Holy Spirit, I've been given a new heart, if you like, a new me that is able to say, well, I'm not on my own. Now, because of the Holy Spirit, my life is different. And because of the difference of my life that I have now, I may know that what has begun is one day going to be completed. Let me try and illustrate this. There are some of you here who have had a very, very dramatic conversion, right? And I love nothing better than to hear your story. And so often the newly converted person will say to me, wow, what a difference my life makes. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. You know, that kind of transformed life. Okay? Now, I want to hear those testimonies for the simple reason that those of us who have grown up in this haven't quite experienced that powerful transformation idea. But when I hear of a newly born-again person and they tell me, wow, it's so different, I am reminded that that first difference, brothers and sisters, is a foretaste, a guarantee, a seal of what is to come, of an even greater difference that we're all going to share in. So I ask you, what difference does the Holy Spirit make in your life? Well, He makes me alive, and He makes me realize that I have a hope beyond hope and a future that is just too beautiful to contemplate. Well, says the apostle, the Spirit, if you like, is a foretaste of what is to come. So I want you to be reminded of what lies ahead. We believe now, but what we have now in church, brothers and sisters, is the just a sample, a foretaste of what is to come. Now, I don't know you about you, but I reckon that Sunday is the most beautiful day of the week. Why? Well, because it's not just an hour, but it's a whole day that we set apart and set aside to get a foretaste of what is to come. Jesus reminds us, I am with you always. I am in you. And one day, you will be with me, and I will be with you. Where I am, you also may be. I had a dear sister in Bucklands Beach who was working in a home She's an 84-year-old at this stage herself, and she was working in a home where she has been given a ministry and gave herself this ministry, but has been really blessed in speaking to residents. And a lot of them are not Christians. Her name is Joyce, and Joyce said to me only recently, "I just can't understand how you can grow old without the hope of Jesus." But the skeptic at the hospital says, "How do you know that there is going to be a future for me?" And Joyce pointed that way. He ascended. I too share in his glory, both in heaven and in the new heaven and the new earth that is forever. So folks, Ascension Sunday, what a glorious theme to meditate on. May the Lord bless and encourage each and every one of us as we've considered this theme this morning. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, there's so much to take in from this particular theme. And we pray that our hearts may be encouraged to look ahead, to look forward, and to know that what we have here on earth today is a foretaste of what is to come, a deposit guaranteeing what lies ahead. Father, we thank you that you have anointed us and have put your seal on us and have given us the guarantee, the Spirit, as a guarantee of what lies ahead. Hear us through Jesus Christ our Lord, and bless us for the rest of this day. In his name we pray. Amen.